Well, good morning to you. Hopefully that the Spirit of God is moving today in your life. I know He is in mine and just challenging me in so many different ways, and I hope God will do the same with you today. If you have your Bibles this morning, I invite you to turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 8. We're going to begin a four-week mini-series on a reminder from God. Going through strictly this chapter, Deuteronomy chapter 8. It's a wonderful chapter. I think you will like it. I know that I have so far in my studying, and this morning in the first service, I think that God really moved with His Word. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, you have a reminder of God giving to the Israelites. In other words, they are now, they have now finished their wandering in the wilderness. And now God is preparing them to enter and go into the promised land, possess it, take it, and enjoy it. But He gives them a warning. In all the explanations of the promised land, God is, His voice is filled with excitement. But there's a word of caution there. He tells them one simple thing. Are you listening? Don't forget me. Of all of God's words and all that He wants from us, His people, the simple reminder that He gave to His people was simple. Don't forget me when you get there. And today, as we go through this chapter in the next 4 weeks, as He reminded the Israelites, I'm wondering if God wants to remind you of who He is. And He begins to tell the Israelites, as we will just read in a minute, of who He is and who He's always been and who He wants to be for them when they get to the promised land. And perhaps today you need a humble reminder of who God is in your life and who He wants to be in your life, either for the first time in a long time or the first time ever. Maybe you're lost today and you need Jesus. Wherever you stand with God, my prayer is today that you would not leave the same, but you would leave challenged. So with that said, would you stand with me in honor of God's word as we read Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1 through verse 5. The word of God says this: all the commandments that I am commanding you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to give to your forefathers. You shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that He might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep His commandments or not. He humbled you and let you be hungry and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that He might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. Thus, you are to know in your heart that the Lord your God was disciplining you, just as a man disciplines his son. Father, in Jesus' name, whatever we might need today, whether it's a reminder of your love or, Father, perhaps a reminder of your godly discipline for your children that you care for so much, I pray, Father, that we would receive your word and that you would apply it to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated this morning. Going old school today, I'm excited to be able to write, instead of the old legal pad, I'm using a book now. I can just keep up with it a lot easier. And I was looking at these notes. I just want to I never say this a lot, and I'm probably in trouble for doing this, but I just want to thank my family because they support me a lot and they encourage me a lot. And I have these notes in my journal, my sermon. I call this my sermon journal or book. And here is a little note that my daughter, she'll come into my office and she writes me notes and draws me pictures. She says that she loves me. She's my best friend, but I like this one a lot. Listen to this. She said, Eva was here. Don't think that I didn't look through your stuff. I may have or I may not have. See you later. So, isn't that great to know that someone's always keeping you accountable? Thank you for that, baby. So, anyway, but with that said, talking about accountability to remind us of who God is. Man, this is really good stuff today. I just want you to know. I hope you enjoy it as much as I have enjoyed reading it and writing it. So, here's what I want to do today. Of all the 3 points, there's always 3 points. But here's what I want to break down with God's reminder. I just thought that I want you to remember 3 points. If you're taking notes, that's why you take notes, because you forget stuff, okay? So the reality is very simple. I want these points that I give you to be a gateway or a waterway to the overall theme, which is very simple. Don't forget God in your life. Boom, end of discussion. There are no more periods. That is it. When God is reminding his people in Deuteronomy chapter 8 of all the things they've been through and all the things they're going through, one main theme stays constant. Don't forget to honor the Lord God in your life, period. And if you are here this morning and you are not honoring God with how you live, then you are getting what you expect. You're getting what you put in. The Israelites had been wandering for 40 long years because they complained. Do you think that it was God's plan to make them wander for 40 years after he led them out of Egypt through Moses? I don't think so. When you read the account in the Bible, you know that the only reason why they wandered for 40 years is because they couldn't shut their lips. They kept complaining. Well, God, in Egypt, we had meat and bread, and here we have nothing except this manna, which is nasty, and we got to work for it. When we were in Egypt, we could just go right down the street and get a loaf of bread and have it. We could go eat any kind of food we wanted and enjoy it. But here we have to get up every morning when the dew dries and take our instruments and go out there and rake this flaky junk up in a basket, mix it with water, and eat that bread, and it's not good. You had people that had the audacity to complain to God who led them by a pillar of cloud. Imagine a pillar of cloud from the ceiling to the ground that leads them by day and a fire by night. Can you imagine that? And yet, they complain to God. And he tells them here in verse 1, I want you to see, all the commandments that I am commanding you today, you shall be careful to do. So here's what I want to describe, or how I like to describe this humble reminder. I want to take the characteristics of who God is and what we see in his word and just go and let this channel take us right on to remembering all the time to remember God. So the first aspect of this reminder is what you just read. It is a careful reminder. God, through Moses, said, you will be careful to do all my commandments. It reminds me of a recipe book. When my wife and I got married, my Aunt Faith gave us a recipe book, something very similar to this. And she hand wrote every recipe in that. Can you imagine how long that took her? And when she gave it to us when we got married, it was filled with all of my favorite recipes as growing up as a kid, of all the wonderful foods that she made. And some of my grandmother's recipes are in there. My aunt's recipes are in there. None of my uncles are in there because they can't cook. But it was a wonderful, we still use it to this day. And we'll write down our own recipes in there as well that we have gathered throughout the years. But here's one thing about a recipe. The older we have gotten and the older I've gotten, I like to cook more. And so I know that if you're going to cook something, you have to, if you want it to taste good, follow a certain step-by-step recipe. And it's those times when you get there and you experiment on your family, obviously, all the time. And you will add something that you didn't add last time to either try to make it better or try to make it perfect, but it doesn't always work out, does it? You'll work hard, you'll buy the dish, you'll buy all the stuff that goes with it, you'll work the same that you did when you went step by step, but you added stuff and it doesn't taste the same. And all your hard work, every chef in here, the one thing they want everyone to, they don't care if you praise them for how good it is, they just want it to be good, right? They don't want to serve bad food. And maybe some of you are here today and you are not doing what you see on the screen. You're not carefully following God's plan for your life. Things have happened over the years and you know what you're supposed to do, you just don't do it. You know the keys and the success to a a happy spiritual life. And let me just add while I'm there, a happy spiritual life does not always mean you have a happy physical life. You do know that, right? God does nowhere in his word promise health and wealth if you follow him. He just promises that he'll never leave you. But along the life's journey that you have, that has sometimes not good enough. You don't want God just to be with you. Oh, he's always with us. But he is. But the thing is that when we carefully go through God's word step by step and we do what he wants us to do, all of us, we're blessed with different stuff, different things, but God has given us the best gift of all. You know what it is? It's called life. And yet today, and I said the wrong reference in the early service. I went back to correct it just because I want to make sure I say the right thing. Did you know that suicide is the 7th leading cause of death in America? I said it was the 4th leading cause this morning. I got my numbers mixed up. It is the 4th leading cause amongst teenagers. We have more and more people killing themselves. Have you ever asked yourself why? Could it all be that bad? I feel so worthless, or I'm not pretty enough, or I'm not good enough, or I don't have enough. And those things, they're real. And I'm not saying that God waves his magic wand and makes all of them go away, but what I'm trying to tell you, dear friend, is that the very essence of life itself is a blessing from the Father, no matter how bad you think your life is. It is a gift breathed into your lungs when you first entered this world. And God does have a plan for your life. And here's something that no one ever wants to say. You may not like all of it all the time. It may not be rosy. And yes, it is easy just to get out, to quit. We'll talk about that in a second, but don't do that. God wants us to have this life, but listen to what he says in verse 1. He says, today you shall be careful to do that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land. Listen to this. God in his very, he wants us to enjoy this world. He does. Yes, it's a sinful world, but God designed it. He made it and then he gave it to us. When you read the book of Genesis, he put us in control of everything. The reason why you call a snake or a bird is because Adam named it that. You do know that, right? Man named the stuff, all the animals, all the sky. The only thing that we didn't name is what God said. God made a great light for the day and a great light for the evening. We call that a sun and a moon. But he has given us this world, and he wants us to enjoy it. He wants us to live in it and for us to multiply, to grow, for our families to enjoy what he's given us. And not only that, but he wants us to possess it. That word possess means to have something and to enjoy it. I have in my pocket a pen I used this morning. And I love these pens. I didn't say what it was this morning, but it's a Uniball pen, but it's a fine point. And I will not write with anything else. And in our office, I mean, most of y'all don't care about budgets, but we were $1,000 under budget for our office, which is unheard of in most offices. But we didn't spend all of our money because we try to watch what we spend. But one thing that we don't watch are these. We get them by the cases, and we use them. I pass them out to people. I use them all the time when the ink runs out. I love them. And I know this is a simple analogy, but stay with me here. I can possess something, and because I possess it, I can enjoy it. You see, God wanted the Israelites to not only go into the land, he wanted them to pull out every single blessing that it had. He wanted them to possess it and to have it. And listen, I'm not a health and wealth preacher. If you're visiting today, for those of you that have been here a while, you know that. But I will tell you this. You get in or you get out what you put in. If you will obey the commandments of God, I'm not saying he's going to rain down money on you, because that's not how he works. And if you pay attention to the rest of the sermon, you'll understand that as he rearranges your mind and your heart, that may not be what you want. But you will be careful to do all that God has wanted us to do. The key word there leads or segues into our second point, all that we do. You shall be careful to do all. I just want to make sure I get it right. That you, all the commandments that I am commanding, that what does that word say there? I think it says all. You shall, remember verse 2, all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years. There is no quit. A lot of us in this room today, the reason why we feel disconnected from God is because there has been a point in your life where you have cut it off. You have stopped. There is no more devotions. There is no more reading. There is no more praying. There is no more giving it to God. There is no more fasting, if there ever was. There is no more seeking God with all of your heart and soul, and you wonder why you are still spinning your wheels in the mud. We went hunting yesterday to close out the deer season, and it was extremely muddy where we hunt. And I remember thinking as Joe and I were riding on the four-wheeler, man, he doesn't know that the four-wheel drive in our four-wheeler is broken. It doesn't work. And there's a little fuse that broke that we just have to fix. And so we're entering all these mud holes. By the way, Joe, surprised by that. We're entering all these mud holes, and he's just going along for the ride. And I'm thinking to myself, I really hope we don't get stuck. It's 42 degrees outside. And as you go through those mud holes, you navigate with a hope and prayer as a father that, hey, we're not going to get stuck. We're not going to be here in this muddy water. We're going to be able to keep going. And while along, my son on the back, he has no clue what that it's. He's just going through the mud. It's fun. And the Father, the Heavenly Father, is the same way with us as the end of this verse, or verse 5 says, he disciplines us as a father would a son. He also loves us and cares for us. And so there are going to be some times where you spin your wheels in the mud and you can't get going and you're wondering what is going on. You just need to remember that your Heavenly Father knows the way. You just are along for the ride. And maybe you are here today and you are along for the ride, but there's come a point where you have looked and you have said, no, you know what? I'm not going to do that. I don't want to do that. So let me ask you this today. Are you here telling God what you are and you're not going to do? So let me ask you this. If you're going to tell God what you are and what you're not going to do, then what do you expect from that kind of relationship? I'm just curious. So if you're going to be the one to tell the Almighty God what he's going to do for you, then how do you expect that to work out? You see, here's what he says in verse 2. If you have your Bibles open, he says, you shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years. Here it is, that he might humble you. So that he might humble you at testing you to know what was in your heart. So the reason why God wants you to stay all in and not quit is because he wants complete humility in your life. So if you're at a spot in your life where the wheels keep spinning in the mud, what he wants you to do is to pull out in the back pocket, and I wanted to call this series the White Flag Series, and he just really wants you to surrender. That's all. If you will surrender in that complete humility and say, God, I can't handle this, I can't do this, I want you in my life, I want you to do what you want to do through my life, it's complete humility. Now, don't miss this. So in verse 2, if we have a complete humility, then we can complete the test or the test of God, the things that come in our way. So what once, years ago, would derail us off the track of faith in God now is nothing more than a hurdle that we know God can help us through when we run to him. Now here's the cool part. When you and I, when we have a complete humility and surrender to God, he helps us pass those tests, but here it is, then he completes our heart. What does the word say in verse 2? That he may know in our heart, that he may know our hearts, whether or not we would do his word. So here's the reality. When you and I complete or stay complete in God, we have a humility that's complete, we pass his tests, and our hearts are complete. And how are they completed? It tells us. Because we do God's word. So if God's word is telling you to forgive, what should you do? Not hold a grudge. If God's word is telling you to confront biblically, what should you do? Not run the other way. If God's word is telling you to live to his will, what should you do? It should not be to live with one another and not married. If God's word tells you that sin is wrong, then is it or is it not? We can't have it both ways, but that's the world that we live in. It tells us, oh, yes, you can. You can have everything and still have Jesus. And I want you to know that that might be true, but you will have a watered-down version of what you think is Jesus that will not be there when you need him. And he wants you to be complete in him, and that means you have to take a stand at times. Yes, that means you have to confront at times. Yes, that means you have to say no at times. Yes, that means you lose friends. You alienate family. But the word of God is true, and we cannot allow anything to dilute it. And friends, the world is watching. And so here's my note for this point for myself is very simple. If you're here and you would say in your heart that you are a Christian, that Jesus has in fact saved your soul from hell, that you will live forever in eternity with him in heaven, then perhaps there is no need for you to be reminded to do God's will. What you need to be reminded to do this morning is very simple. Finish the job. There is no need for God to tell you what to do. He's already told you. You just won't do it. You just won't finish it. And how in the world can God's love and mercy and grace flow through that? Well, if we only do things halfway, then we get what we expect. But God here in this verse, in verses 3 through 5, man, is so cool. Because as we're going along this journey, as he is humbly reminding them the past 40 years, which, by the way, hadn't been so good, he begins to tell them of all the wonderful things they're going to have if they will just stay complete in him, if they will be careful to follow his recipe to stay in him. And listen, and this may sound weird, but to listen to his corrective voice. How many of you like to be told you did something wrong? Anybody? I personally don't like it. I would rather people think it but not tell me. Because if they don't tell me, then I don't have to acknowledge the obvious. But if they don't tell me, then the obvious that I want to acknowledge can never be fixed. You see, I believe, and I would submit to you today, that we are a society that we don't want to be fixed. We just want to be pieced together. And if we can be pieced together and pretend to other people that we are pieced together and work just fine, then that's what we want. We don't want the band-aid to be ripped off. We don't want people to know what's behind. But see, God is not doing that. Look in verse 3. He says this. This is really good. He humbled you and let you be hungry and fed you with manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand. Do you understand? You ever been told by your parents, do you understand what I'm talking about? Anybody ever been talking to like that? Anybody? Any parents want to admit? Hey, all right, we got a few. Yes, it's great to raise your hands. And all you other parents say, no, I don't ever have that problem, my kids. Liar, liar. You know where liars go. Just read Revelation 21:8. Just be careful. You know, that you may understand. Now, here's what I want to do very quickly. I want you to look in verse 3. I want to take one phrase of every verse, 3, 4, and 5, and I want you to see this. So God says here, he says, and he let you be hungry. So all the wonderful food that you had in Egypt, now you don't have it. Now you have to eat this manna, this flaky bread that doesn't taste good. This is what you have to eat. And so what he's doing here, he lets you be hungry. In other words, he lets you burn out on your own desires and fleshly lust. And what God was doing in the wilderness is, as they were picking up that manna and occasionally they'd get quail, he was changing their perspective, their way of thinking. So when God's corrective reminder comes to you, here's what he wants from you. He wants to change your perspective, your way of thinking, and why you think what you think. Is it godly or is it not? Have you noticed that in our social media today? I mean, if you think something, boom, say it. It's on there now. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. And can I just encourage y'all to do one thing for me as a pastor to his people? Would you think and pray before you hit that four-letter word called send? Because once you do, it is there. And you can't take it back. You cannot take it back. It's there forever. But that's not what we live in a world where we're going to tell people what we think. Oh, yeah, here it is. Let me tell you what I think about that. And you'll list four paragraphs that 99.9% of your friends don't read and just hit like and keep scrolling on up. You laugh, but that's the truth. Here's the point. You have the ability with your fingertips to send out a message for God's glory, and are you doing it or not? And is God honored by what's in your head? Is he honored by what comes out of your mouth and what you type of your fingers? And if he's not, then this corrective reminder that he's given the Israelites, hey, I let you be hungry, I let you do your own thing, and I wanted to change your perspective, your way of thinking. Now, he goes on to say this. He said, and I fed you with manna. But here's the deal. I fed you with something that you didn't know, and oh, by the way, here's a kicker, neither did your granddaddy. Hey, I fed you with something that they didn't even know about. Why is that important? Here's why. Because most of the things that we do is because our family did it, and our father did it, and his father did it, and his father did it, and his father did it. Matter of fact, we have probably a lot of things in our lives that we do that we don't even know why we do it. We just do it. Because it's always been done that way. And here God is telling the Israelites, you are not going to be able to depend on mommy and daddy no more. You got to depend upon me. There is no recipe book. There is no people that you can get experience from. And hey, can you hear me for today? You might be going through something right now that nobody else can understand, but God does. And so that plan that you're looking for, you're trying to look online or read online or look in a book and try to find something that'll fit your life and help you and fix that drug that's like a drug that you need. You just need someone else to agree with you online. And if somebody else can agree with you online, then man, it's like you've been given a new life. Now somebody else that I don't even know, two states away, believes what I believe, and now I'm going to do it. But what does God's word say? You see, here's the reality that when he comes in with that corrective reminder, then he changes our perspective and he changes our plan of doing stuff. Food that your fathers never knew about. And look at this. This is really good. In verse 5, he says, and oh, by the way, that you will understand, or I said verse 5, it's verse 3, that you will understand that everything, that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. So here's the deal. If you are under this right here, the corrective reminder of God, he wants to change your philosophy, he wants to change your plan, and he wants to change your perspective on how you do things to change your heart forever. So back to the point, God wanted his people to never forget him. And he said if they would just be careful, if they would just complete his will, if they would receive his corrective reminder, then everything would go well for them. And he would want to tell you the same thing this morning, that if you are searching for him, that he wants that. But here's a cool thing. Isn't it amazing that God loves us? But here's his final touch, and this blows my mind away. Here's Jesus. When you might be asking, well, how does Jesus fit in the Old Testament? I'm so glad you asked. The reality is very simple. God doesn't require us to do anything that's not a part of who he is. So when you look at all these aspects about God and about him and his amazing love, and you think that he is a corrective God, he is a complete God, he is a careful God. Here's how he is very much. When the devil tempted Adam and Eve to sin and threatened to separate God from the creation that he loves so much, what did God do? Don't miss. God carefully designed a plan of salvation for his people that if they would believe in him, that he would save them forever. And he would let the devil and the whole world know that forever that he would be victorious over the sin in this world. And not only did he do that, but then to fulfill that, he sent his son Jesus Christ to this world as the ultimate complete test in him, that if he would die on a cross for your sin and my sin, that that would be the complete final sacrifice for everybody in the world if they would just believe in Jesus' name. And then it gets even better. As he's on the cross, God lays every corrective wrath that every sin that you've ever committed or ever will on the shoulders of God. So don't tell me that God doesn't know how to be careful, complete, and corrective, because it is the very essence of your salvation today in heaven, period. So the God that has done all of that, that has completed and corrected every wrong that you will ever do in the eyes of his son's blood, can you imagine what he wants to do with you on this earth if you will just surrender? If you will just come to him. And so today I give you a reminder. It is time to come back to God, to allow him to complete you, to carefully walk through your life, and to receive that corrective discipline as a father would a child from the Heavenly Father today. Would you do that? Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that you would just fill us with your Spirit today. Father, if there is anyone that is lost, I pray that you would allow them to be drawn to your Spirit. The Word says to be given the faith to believe, but Lord, they have to receive you. They have to repent of their sins. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, I just want to ask you this question today. If you would have to stand before the Father today and you would wonder or worry about whether you would go to heaven or hell, friend, you don't have to worry about that if you will just come and receive him. So maybe today there's somebody here that would just say, you know what, I need Jesus. And the problem is, Pastor, a lot of people already think I've had him for a long time, but I haven't. So for sake of looking foolish, I'm going to die and forever spend eternity in hell because I can't admit I'm a sinner in front of others. Hey, guys, he already knows you're a sinner. Who cares what other people think? But perhaps you're here today and you would just simply say, I'm a Christian and I want God in my life, but I haven't been careful about anything I've ever done. And I certainly haven't asked God what he thinks. Maybe today, for the first time in a long time, you would just humbly come to God and say, Lord, thank you for what you've done for me. I remember, help me remember you every day in my life, with my family, with my friends, at my job. Father, and how I speak. Father, the reality is very simple. We are broken people, and if you don't put us back together into your grace, we will stay that way. So, Father, I pray for us today as a church, I pray that we would respond to you in only the way that you would like. With your complete forgiveness, Lord, we come. Would you stand to your feet today as we have a time of invitation? If you want to come pray with me at this altar, you want to come pray at the altar, pray with our prayer team in the back, pray with Brother Landon, however he leads, you respond to him.
Draw me close to you, never let me go. I lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire. No one else will do. 'Cause nothing else can take your place. to feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find a way, bring me back to you.
Worship with our Lord's Supper and our offering. So if y'all will go ahead and have a seat today, and as you're sitting down and getting prepared, thank you. You know, you know, when I was reading in the book of John today, just going over, I always do this when we do Lord's Supper. You know the coolest thing about this? And we just talked about it in the sermon, but Jesus is so cool. And in John 13, if you're taking notes, he is about to have the Last Supper with the disciples. And he comes in and he girds himself with a washcloth because he's about to do the unthinkable. He's about to wash the dirtiest part of the human body in that day, and that was the feet. And the disciples, as you recall, would have none of it. You're not going to wash my feet. And Jesus said, if I don't wash you, then you have no part in me. And he was obviously meaning spiritually, if his blood did not wash them, and he began to tell them in detail what was going to happen to him. And here's the coolest thing. He says this: "Now before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, that he would depart out of this world to the Father," listen to this, "having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end." And I just want you to know that Jesus is always going to love you no matter what. Your wife may not love you, your husband may not love you, your kids may not love you at times. Hey, the Father's love is unending. It never fails. So when we take the Lord's Supper and you eat this cracker and you drink this grape juice as a remembrance, a reminder of what Jesus has done, he's paid it all. I'm going to open us up in prayer, and then our men are going to disperse and we'll take the Lord's Supper. Father, in Jesus' name, bless your word. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for dying on the cross for our sins. Father, may this not just be a normal routine that we do, but may we think inside the difference you've made in our lives and go, therefore, and make a difference in other people's lives. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.